We've been talking with Dan Kurzman. We'll do it again here in just a second. He'll lay out the plot for you as was originally conceived by the SS General Karl Wolf and then intentionally abandoned by him at the same time. We'll also go over a little bit of what some of the other exit strategies were that Himmler and he were developing, ways they thought they could get out of being held responsible for the Holocaust. And Himmler himself, I just got to recommend this book for, I mean, it's just, we talked last half hour about how Himmler had been the class tattletale and that he was just disliked. And the more he was disliked, the more he would tattle on other people. And just being kind of a snitchy guy just always put him as sort of the, you know, in the kind of the lower end of whatever class he was with. And he tried to join the army. They wouldn't have him. And until he rose to power with the Nazis, he, you know, he was a guy who was just trying to find a way to be important. And it was just so, it just made me wonder through the whole thing, what would life have been like? What would the world have been like if Himmler had been a popular kid in third grade? What we might have avoided, how hard it might have been for Hitler to find somebody else uniquely suited for carrying out his murderous ideology if Himmler had been popular. I don't know. We'll leave that up question to other people, but we'll get back to the special mission next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. How the course of human events might have changed if Heinrich Himmler had been voted to student council just once. Just once. A special mission, the name of the book, Hitler's Secret Plot to Seize the Vatican and Kidnap Pope Pius XII. We've been talking about this guy, General Karl Wolf, that Dan Kurzman interviewed back in 1974. It just took a while to get the book out on this little-known event in World War II. Now, Dan, let's lay out the plot as Wolf had to act on it, because he's really given, he wanted 6 weeks to get it together, and Hitler said, "I'll give you two," or how did that work?
Yes, he wanted to get the job done as soon as possible, and he said that Wolf should call him every 2 weeks to let him know what the progress was, and he'd like to do it as soon as possible. You know, you mentioned before you asked about why Wolf decided to sabotage the plot if he could, and of course one of the reasons, as I mentioned, was that he wanted to save himself by getting the Pope's gratitude, so that after the war maybe the Pope would put in a good word for him. But Wolf also respected power, and that's one of the reasons why he went with Hitler in the first place, and he saw the Pope as another one of the great and most powerful men in the world, who could capture men's lives, capture men's souls and their minds, and so he had great respect for anybody with tremendous power, and that's another thing. He didn't want to turn one of his powerful supporters against another man whom he thought was also very powerful and whom he respected a lot. That was one of the reasons. But the basic reason was that why he wanted to sabotage the plot was because to save himself.
Yeah, I like how you phrased it in the book, that he was sort of torn between the Antichrist and the Vicar of Christ.
Yeah, well, of course that's going to come out later when he actually, maybe I can mention that later after I go into the plot itself.
All right, so Hitler gives him very little time, says you got to get down there right away. Himmler's happy to see him go because now they've sort of had a little falling out. And Wolf gets down there to Rome. How did he start to figure out how he was supposed to do this?
Well, first of all, he drew up a plan for carrying out the plot, because I mean, if it were a question of him living or dying, he would have gone through with the plot regardless. But he also was plotting a way to sabotage his own plan, and what he did was he got in touch with some of the German officials in Rome and in the Vatican who were anti-Hitler. Most of them were anti-Hitler, actually, and they had the same idea, to try to save the Pope, from being a, from being a, t- taken prisoner or killed or whatever, and particularly the ambassador, the German ambassador to the Vatican, Ernst von Weizsäcker, wanted to save him, mainly for patriotic reasons. He thought that the only way Germany could be saved was if the Pope became the mediator between Germany without Hitler and the Allies, this, you know, could save Germany and say also prevent the communist, you know, Soviet Russia, Soviet Union from coming into Europe. In other words, this was basically the same idea that the Pope had. The Pope wanted to become the mediator between the Allies and Germany, Germany without Hitler, and to try to protect, and then the two sides would join against the Soviet Union to keep the Soviet Union from coming into Europe and taking over Europe.
Would this be a good time to talk about the Pope's relationship with Hitler prior to this event? I mean, where, because,
well, yes.
I mean,
well,
Pope Pius XII gets, you
right,
know, a rap in history
important.
Of...
That is very important. That when Hitler decided to go into Rome, it wasn't just to get even with him because of the fact that he thought that the Pope had something to do with what happened to Mussolini. As a matter of fact, there was no evidence of that whatsoever. But this is what Hitler thought. But there was more than that. Hitler and the Pope had been bitter enemies for many, many years. I know there are some books that have come out. I think there's one called Hitler's Pope, which tried to make it look as if Hitler, that the Pope, by, you can tell by the very title, that the Pope was in cahoots with Hitler and was taking orders from Hitler. This simply isn't true. The two men despised each other to the extent that in 1939, shortly after the Pope came to power, you know, took over as Pope, he joined in a plot by German militarists, some German militarists who wanted to overthrow Hitler. And they asked him if he wouldn't join them in this plot, and he agreed. And his job was to be contact the British and get British support for the plot. And the Pope was ready to give all kinds of military information and everything to the British. So you can see, and the idea was to overthrow Hitler and, if necessary, kill him. And the Pope agreed to this. And I was told this by a very high Vatican official, as a matter of fact, that the Pope was ready to see Hitler killed if necessary, because that's how much he hated him. So this whole idea that he was
anti-Semitic,
was a friend and a supporter of Hitler was just is completely cockeyed. Now this is very important in the reason. This is an important reason why Hitler was out to get the Pope, because each of them feared and hated the other. The Pope hated Hitler because not only because of his inhuman policies, but because he was convinced that Hitler was out to destroy the church, and he was right. Hitler was out to destroy the church. On the other hand, Hitler feared the Pope because he was afraid that, for one thing, he saw the Pope as one of his great competitors after the war, because he thought he was going to win the war, of course, Hitler did. And he thought that after the war, you know, he wanted to control all these countries that he took over, and he wanted to be their spiritual leader as well as their political leader. As a matter of fact, Hitler's aim, ultimate aim, was to destroy Christianity as such and start a new Nazi religion with him as with himself as their spiritual as well as political leader. And so he saw the Pope standing in his way, of course. And so that's one reason why he hated him. And also he was afraid that the Pope would speak out publicly against the Holocaust, the population in Germany was about 40% Catholic, and this was about the same percentage of in the army, where about 40% of the people in the armed forces were Catholic. And if the Pope spoke out, Hitler was afraid that this would really demoralize the army. You know, with such a tremendous percentage of people, you know, being good Catholics, and ironically, the Pope was afraid that Hitler, that if he spoke out, that's one of the reasons why he didn't. He was afraid that Hitler, you know, that most of the Catholics might turn to Hitler rather than him and abandon the church, because many of the bishops, the Catholic bishops in Germany, they were influenced by Hitler. Actually, they were. I would say that they were intimidated by Hitler, because right. Hitler didn't, you know, threatened and many of these prelates, the Catholic prelates, put many of them in jail, killed even some,
right.
And they were afraid that if they went against Hitler, that you know, they would all be killed, and so you know, anyway, the Pope was afraid that you know, that
Hitler would come. You know, I thought it was interesting
that his own people there would turn against him. That's one of the reasons why he didn't want to speak out. But basically, he didn't want to speak out because he saw his whole purpose on earth was to protect and save the church, of which he was the head. And he had played even before he became Pope, he played a big role in strengthening the church, probably stronger than ever. It became probably stronger than ever was in history, consolidating it and unifying it. And he to see his handiwork suddenly disappear, and when God put him on earth in order to save the, you know, to keep the protect the church and keep it eternal. The basic reason why he didn't want to speak out is because he knew and he felt that Germany, that Hitler would attack the Vatican and try to destroy it, and not only himself, but you know, the whole Catholic structure. If he spoke out, so he found himself in a very, very agonizing yeah. dilemma. On the one hand, he did really want to save the Jews, but on the other hand, he also wanted to save the church, and so there you had it. He was in this great dilemma, and so he tried to help them without speaking out. He did open up all the church. I mean, he made it clear to the clergy that without putting it in writing, because he was afraid of putting it in writing, Hitler would find it, and that could mean the end of the church. But he made it clear to them through word of mouth and other ways that all the Vatican institutions and the churches should be open to Jews who needed to be saved. And so he tried his best to do it in that way, but he didn't want to speak out loudly and publicly, because he was afraid that this could end the church, and yeah. and of course Hitler's aim was to end the life of the church.
You know, the I'm reminded of that part you mentioned a few minutes ago about how he had thought of himself as becoming a spiritual leader in this new, you know, the 1,000-year reign, because he had. Himmler had even said at one point that he had to do the dirty work so that the new Messiah, Hitler, could be sinless, and that's why he took it upon himself to live out the Holocaust in that self-sacrificing way, so that Hitler would be above criticism somehow, which just seems insane to think, but that's how warped it was. And then the other part I just wanted to highlight was you were talking about the Pope Pius XII, is that, you know, there were a lot of people that say to this day that he was anti-Semitic. How did he turn, in what ways did he turn a blind eye to the Holocaust? Are there verifiable ways that he did allow things to happen in order to save the church that are sort of an uncomfortable Sophie's choice?
Well, basically what he did was just to not speak out loudly, because he knew that that if he did, that the church okay. might disappear. As a matter of fact, before he became Pope, he had written some material, encyclicals and so forth, that would indicate that he was you know, that the Jew, that the Hitler was a danger to the Jews and others, and Hitler had reacted so strongly, threatening the Pope, threatening to take over the Vatican and everything, you know, that just about everything that could happen to the church, he was
right.
promising to do.
Why didn't he scare
Pius, and after that he was really afraid that Hitler was really going to go through with a plot to get rid of the church.
Well, I don't want to get too far off track, because we really wanted to lay out then exactly what Wolff's plan was. So sketch it out for us in just a few minutes of how he thought he might be able to kidnap the Curia, to loot the Vatican and kidnap the Pope, perhaps having to kill all of those people. But how did he see that happening?
Well, he didn't actually see it happen, because he was determined to, you know,
right.
to stop it.
But as he had to sketch out a way of doing it, how did he see that is even possible?
Well, he didn't really think it was possible, although he was, I'll tell you, if Hitler had told him, look, either you do it now or you're dead, he would have found a way to do it, you know, to go through with it. But he joined with these, as I mentioned, Ambassador von Weizsäcker and other, I go into it in detail, of course, in my book, A Special Mission, but he got together with not only Weizsäcker, but with other political leaders. I mentioned their names before, and
right.
political and military leaders.
Sure.
And they more or less had a conspiracy to try to save the Pope. And one of the basic things that they decided together was that to convince the Pope that when Hitler's people went in to take over the Jews, and you know they were going to send in trucks to take him to the train, which would take them to Auschwitz. They were afraid that the Pope now finally would speak out, because he'd have to, because before he thought he could get away without speaking out and still help the Jews and save the church, but when the Jews were taken right under his window, so to speak,
right
in Rome, after all, the Jews in Rome were his neighbors, that he would be forced to speak out, and that's what they were worried about, because they knew that if the Pope spoke out, that this would absolutely make it certain that Hitler would not change his mind about taking over the Vatican and destroying
sure.
and killing a lot of people, including maybe the Pope. So that was the situation then. And you might ask, what exactly was this plot?
That's what I was trying to get you to get. What exactly was the plot? And I guess now, again, once more, we're kind of at the end of the half hour, so that's what I was trying to get at. And the secret plot was, Dan, you want to pick it up there?
Okay, but just before I get to that, perhaps I should just finish the thought about how these people who were trying to save the Pope, how they hope to proceed and how they hope to change Hitler's mind.
I'm afraid if you put anything else after the secret plot was, there will be an insurrection. I'm afraid that people will storm the studio with pitchforks and torches. I think I want to hear about that, but I think it's really cool to hear exactly what the plot was before we undo it. Let's hear what it was.
Okay. The plot was that a group of SS men would go into the Vatican dressed in Italian uniforms, Italian army uniforms, and they would take over the Vatican and everything in it, and they would kill all the cardinals, the curia, and then they would kidnap the Pope and make it appear as if he were trying to escape, and then would kill him too. Now, that was the idea. But after the first group went in, of SS men went in, another group of German soldiers would come, and they would see these men, you know, in the Italian uniforms, and they would kill their own compatriots, thinking that they were Italians who had create, you know, done all this bloodshed. So this was a very cynical plot by Hitler to try to kill all the witnesses, so there, you know, he could then blame it on the Italians for killing the Pope and the rest, you know, and the Curia, and then taking over the Vatican.
Kind of a false flag operation. Interestingly enough, then too, if they wanted to kidnap him instead of kill him, they could do the same sort of thing. But then instead of having the Pope be killed, they could come in and kill these Italian soldier dressed Nazis and tell everybody, we are saving the Pope, and take him back to Germany or wherever they're going to take him and protect him, with the evidence appearing as though somebody else were coming in to take over the Vatican other than them.
Yeah, that's basically exactly what the plot was. And I'll tell you, Wolf, he was faithful to the SS. He loved the SS. He saw it as the great elite of the German people. And I think that he would have been reluctant in any case to see his own people killed in this plot. But in any event, of course, he and the others that I mentioned, these other anti-Hitler people, you know, worked to try to get Hitler to change his mind and frustrate the plot.
Well, let's pick up on how he sabotaged his own plot next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Dan Kurzman, also the author of one of the definitive books on the USS Indianapolis called Fatal Voyage, a great writer and wonderful stories, often untold stories, even in the plain sight of history. This would be one where Dan had to do a little digging over the last couple of decades to get the full story of a special mission. So as we laid it out, he had this plot to go in and to be able to make it appear as though the Nazis were saving the Pope, at the same time achieving Hitler's goal of wiping out the Curia. What? Tell me more about what they plan to do with the treasure. How did they plan on extracting the treasure from the Vatican? Do we go into details on that?
Well, they got in touch with a lot of translators of Greek, Latin, and other languages, to get everything that they could out of the books and so forth, and the treasures would just be taken. There were to be about 2,000. The plan called for about 2,000 troops to go in there and extract all the treasures and whatever they could be found, and bring it to Germany.
What was the plan then, to melt it down, the gold? Or, I mean, do they get into?
There was nothing in the plot that I saw that this was indicated, but okay. I guess they would have done that.
Okay.
Because most of the treasures actually were involved the ancient books and so forth. The one thing that Hitler wanted to do, and particularly his secretary, the guy who's perhaps had more influence on him than anybody else, was Martin Bormann, who wanted to find material which would prove that the popes were involved in trying to hurt Germany in the past, and that anything against the Vatican would be justified, and they were trying to find all kinds of material of that nature.
Yeah, to justify attack. You know, I thought it was interesting, and it's a little sidebar piece. It kind of bugged me. Not that you wrote it, but just the whole truth of it, is that Himmler reports, one of the ways in which Himmler justifies that he's not a total animal is this little anecdote about how he let Baron von Rothschild go. Is that true?
Yeah, when the Germans invaded Austria, they found Baron von Rothschild there, and of course he was one of the top Jewish leaders in Europe. In certain, you know, was one of the
banking leader and a very wealthy man,
right? And one of the most important people they could have found, and under Wolf's influence, actually, Himmler permitted him to go, but. I think he had to pay an awful lot of money to do that, and Rothschild, of course, had the money to do it, so he really bought his way out of it.
Yeah, the very thought, though, that Rothschild saved his own skin while perhaps giving enough money to Himmler for him to be able to finance the final solution so that other Jews would go to the death camps.
Well, supposedly the money that was given by Rothschild was to pay for the cost of sending the Jews to other places where they would be safe. But of course, who knows what happened to the money?
Right, exactly. All right, so we know the plot. I mean, what Hitler had in mind and what General Karl Wolff was going to do, but except Hitler didn't know that Karl Wolff had no intention of following through on this plan. Instead, he was already looking for his ticket out of Nuremberg. He was already seeing that the end of the war was not going to end favorably for Germany, so he wanted somebody like the Pope to be an angel for him
Right, and
at the end
so
of the war.
what he did was he and these others, Ambassador Weizsäcker and these others anti-Hitler people in Rome and the Vatican, they let the Pope know that there was this plot. Of course, the Pope was not too surprised because he knew that Hitler for years had wanted to get him. But here was a very specific plot, and they warned him that if he spoke out, and as I mentioned before, the Nazis were afraid that he would speak out now, because if he, how could he keep silent, they felt, when when the Jews were taken from right under his window, so to speak. And so they warned him, basically. In a sense, it was a sort of a blackmail to save his own skin, that he should remain quiet when the Jews were taken out of Rome. And in other words, they more or less said, choose between, say, speaking out and saving the Vatican. And so they put him in a very the Pope in a very difficult moral position. But as I say, the argument then comes down to whether or not the Pope was justified in keeping quiet, and this is, of course, is an argument that's still raging
Right.
today
Right.
about
The beatification of Pope Pius XII.
and
Right.
so it's you see arguments on both sides.
Right. It's interesting that he didn't say more. It's one thing if he didn't speak up about the deportation of the Jews for fear that it would accelerate a greater deportation of the Jews, and then also the consequence of Hitler invading the Vatican. If he didn't say that about Jews, okay, I wouldn't agree with that, but that's what his decision was. It's surprising to me that he wasn't more aware of and fighting more for the execution of Catholics, which was also going on at a fairly astounding rate in the concentration camps.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole point. You see, that's why he wasn't really anti-Semitic. He wasn't to just say, you feel, well, they're only Jews, never
Right.
mind what happened to them. The idea was that if he irritated Hitler to a certain degree, he knew that he would be out, and so would the church. And so that's even when Catholics were involved. For example, in Poland, Poland is mostly a Catholic country,
Right.
and they weren't sent to the gas chambers of Poles, but they were given slave labor, and they were treated terribly. And there were people in Poland who begged him to speak out against that, and he wouldn't do that either, for the same reason that he wouldn't speak out against the Jews. In other words, it wasn't a question of who you were, but of what would happen if he spoke out. What I try to do in my book here is to just sort of give the bottom line of the two arguments, which I
Right.
might just quote myself here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the kernel of the critics' argument, those who criticize the Pope. If the Pope had publicly and explicitly spoken out, several hundred thousand more victims might have been deported, but millions might have been saved. If he remained silent publicly, several hundred thousand might have remained safe, but several million were certain to die. In other words, this was the argument of the critics that even though the Pope was saving hundreds of thousands of Jews in various institutions and all, they might be saved, but at the cost of millions of other Jews. So that's the basic argument. On the other hand, and they're asking, was it morally justifiable to witness a crime without crying out to the heavens in protest, whatever the risk or sacrifice? And as I put it, if only to reassure future generations that a man has not lost his soul. On the other hand, the kernel of the supporters' answer, those who supported the Pope, was expressed by von Kessel when I spoke with him. Von Kessel was the assistant to Ambassador Weizsäcker, who was, of course, the ambassador to the Vatican. And he told me that in using pragmatic logic, and he was very anti-Hitler. As a matter of fact, he was involved in a plot to kill Hitler a number of times. He said, we were convinced that a fiery protest by Pius XII against the persecution of the Jews would have in all probability put both the Pope himself and the Curia into extreme danger, but would certainly not have saved the life of a single Jew, because according to him and to others, who knew Hitler, they said that if the Pope had spoken out, he wouldn't just say, well, okay, the Hitler wouldn't have just said, since he spoke out, let's give up the Holocaust. But instead, that he would have gone into all these different institutions where the Jews were hiding and take even more. And that, in other words, that if he'd spoken out, more Jews would have been killed than if he hadn't spoken out. So this is their argument. And of course, it's a moral argument against a pragmatic argument. This argument is going on today, as it has been since that play, the Deputy, by Rolf Harkuth, came out in the 1950s, and making the Pope look like really an evil man.
Right.
But the thing is, I think it should be understood that the Pope was not anti-Semitic. He did this for practical reasons to save the Church, but not because he was anti-Semitic. As a matter of fact, His closest childhood friend was a Jewish boy with whom he kept in contact throughout his life. And in fact, he helped to save this boy and his family by helping them to get to Jerusalem to avoid the fascist and the effort against the Jews. So there's nothing really that would. I did a lot of exploration of this question. That would show that he was an anti-Semite,
or Hitler's Pope.
Yeah, and that is really an unfair statement, I think. As a matter of fact, he was quoted as saying, "It's impossible for a Catholic to be anti-Semite. Spiritually, all of us are Semites." And I think that's really the way he felt. But he just, his first priority was to save the Church.
Sure. A Special Mission is the name of the book, Hitler's Secret Plot to Seize the Vatican and Kidnap Pope Pius XII. You've never seen this story laid out like this, especially Dan Kurzman's the author. You know what, though? It makes me wonder, what would have happened if Pope Pius XII had said this, as you made the point to say that the German Wehrmacht and let's put the SS aside, but that 40% of the population and presumably 40% of Hitler's army was Catholic, and a greater percentage of them maybe being Lutheran, but also not disrespecting the Pope, might have found this very interesting too. If the Pope had come out, and voiding both of those options that you talked about, the Pope had just said, I am asking that all good Catholic soldiers in the German army right now lay down their weapons. You are fighting an immoral war, and you are following an immoral leader, a murderer. Do not. It is better to die on the battlefield than to kill on the battlefield. If he had said that, what might have happened?
Well, I think it would be clear that Hitler would have gone right into the Vatican one way or the other, much earlier than he did, and would have, because Hitler was, that's exactly what Hitler was afraid of, and he was ready to really take action, and by some miracle that the plot was not implemented in the
I
end,
guess,
but. But the fact is, if he'd have come out and said that, I don't think there would have been any question but that he would have attacked the Vatican.
yeah, I guess in the grand scheme of, in from a Christian mindset of what would Jesus do, I would just wonder what would have happened if the Pope had been willing to martyr himself in that sense. Then, if that's the guarantee of history that Hitler would have done that, it still would have been calling for the right thing in asking these soldiers to lay down their arms.
Right. Well,
I
that's, of
just
course, that's the argument against the Pope. Yeah.
yeah.
But
And
of
we'll
course,
get.
the other argument is, what would have been gained by that? More Jews would have been killed, and Hitler wouldn't have ended the Holocaust. And so more Jews would have been killed, and would Christ have wanted that? So that's
Yeah.
the question that the other side asks.
Fair enough. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open up the last hour here for phone calls for Dan Kurzman. It could be about both this book, A Special Mission, Hitler's Secret Plot to Seize the Vatican and Kidnap Pope Pius XII, or it could be about any of his other books, including that on the Juno or the Indianapolis, or if you're familiar with other books as well. But I want you to, when we come back at the top of the hour, I'd love to have you go through what does happen then to General Wolfe at the end of the war. Obviously, he ends up in jail, so it's not as though the Pope looked out for him and said, "Oh, can't touch this guy."